الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين
أما بعد
فهذا هو الدرس الخامس والأخير في هذه الدورة العلمية. This is our fifth lesson and the last lesson in our knowledge-based seminar in the study of the work Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa, the strongest covenant and bond by the great scholar Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. So far we had discussed that which the author he mentioned with regards to the introduction related to the title of the work, Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa. And likewise, after that, we had discussed the chapter the author he mentioned, Babu Fadli al-Islam, the chapter with regards to the virtue of al-Islam. Also, we have seen the chapter Babu Ittiba' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligation of following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our previous class, we had read and completed by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Babu al-Istighna bil-ladhi uhiya إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَمَّا سِوَاهُ, the chapter about the obligation of sufficing with that which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم over everything else. Now the author, he mentions, and the arrangement is very beneficial, بَابُ فَضْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَطَرِيقِ طَلَبِهِ, the chapter with regards to the virtue of knowledge and the path of seeking it. The virtue of knowledge and the path of seeking it. And this is because knowledge, it precedes every statement and action, and an indication that before a person can truly hold fast to the rope of Allah and to truly be steadfast upon the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, he has to seek knowledge. He has to be diligent to learn. He has to make effort to strive to learn the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the great means of doing this is to realize the virtue of knowledge. And if a person is able to realize the virtue of something, it will help him and be a means to facilitate for him that path and to bear the burdens and hardships that come along with that issue. Here the issue is seeking knowledge. So seeking knowledge is heavy. Seeking knowledge is difficult. Person, maybe he'll go through great difficulties and hardships in seeking knowledge. Many times he will sit in lessons that are heavy until his legs hurt, or till his back hurts, till his knee hurts, till his knees hurt, or his back hurts. Even it's known the people of knowledge, they would mention that the one whom his knees did not hurt from sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, then he's not a true student of knowledge. He has not truly experienced the reality of seeking knowledge. And the point is that person who goes through hardship, maybe he will leave his homeland, maybe he will leave his family, maybe he will travel, maybe he will experience poverty, or he will be in situations that are uncomfortable and the likes, in order to learn and to seek knowledge. But the one who realizes the virtue of this knowledge, then this effort that he makes will become insignificant, and it will become light and become easy because of the great value of that which he's seeking and searching for, the knowledge of the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this chapter, we have Babu Fadli al-Ilm. First, the chapter about the virtue of knowledge. Wa tariqi talabihi, and also the way to seek it. So the knowledge of al-Islam, no doubt, is virtuous, and all of it is good, alhamdulillah. But there are priorities a person who's going to seek knowledge must realize and show emphasis to that which takes precedence. And this is from the way of seeking knowledge. And the one who tries to seek knowledge without guidance, then he will waste a lot of time and could even possibly be misled. Because on the path of knowledge, there are awa'iq wa sawarif. There are awa'iq wa sawarif wa afat bil ilm. There are roadblocks and there are detours and things that are considered like illnesses or diseases that come along with the knowledge. If a person is not aware of these affairs, then the knowledge can become a fitna for him in a trial. Can become a fitna for him in a trial, and not a means of benefit for him, nor a proof for him. Rather, the knowledge could become a proof against him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. It's a proof for you if you believe in it and you learn it and you carry it. You strive against your soul to abide by it and uphold its commandments, its law and legislation. And it's a proof against you if you disbelieve in it and turn away from it, or even if you believe in it, yet you do not uphold its commandments and you violate the legislation and law that is found therein. A person in this manner, he's only memorizing or reciting evidences that are proofs against his own soul. That are proofs against his own soul. So the first issue to realize is that al-ilmu ibadah, wa talabu al-ilmi ibadah. Then he's seeking knowledge is an action of worship. So it must be for the sake of Allah. It must be for the sake of Allah. A person, he must believe that this is the knowledge of the revelation. The legislation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guidance and light. That was revealed from above the heavens, from the Lord of the worlds, from our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal. So this is knowledge of the pathway that leads to his pleasure. And also knowledge of the avenues and ways that lead to his anger. So a person, he will believe in Allah, and he'll believe in the last day. And he'll believe in the path that leads to Allah, and the Jannah in the hereafter. And he will seek knowledge, hoping to reach the pleasure of Allah. And on that path, likewise, one will realize that there are other affairs that lead to the anger of Allah. Creed and belief, first and foremost, and likewise in statement, action, and deed. A person, he must learn these affairs. He must learn these affairs and strive to avoid them. He will learn them believing that they're haram, believing that they're impermissible, believing that the one who commits them or perpetrates them, he's exposing his soul to the anger of Allah. So he will learn the commandments, he will learn the prohibitions, he will learn the halal, he will learn the haram, he will learn the creed, he'll learn the aqidah with sincere faith, believing in Allah Azza wa Jal and his promise. Believing in Allah Azza wa Jal and his promise, he seeks knowledge in this manner with the intention to apply that knowledge to reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one here, he has a great virtue and a great status and a great rank. As for the one who is insincere and seeking knowledge, waliyadu billah, then all of these virtues that we discussed are not applied to him. The virtue of knowledge is only for those who seek knowledge truthfully and sincerely, believing in Allah in the last day and hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to apply that knowledge drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, in the statement of Allah the Most High, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, that Allah, he bears witness, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for him. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah, he bears witness himself. أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. Likewise, the angels as well bear witness, and so do the people of knowledge. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, standing upright, establishing the justice. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. The Almighty, the All-Wise. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. Here Allah is testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. So this is the greatest thing to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah, He bears witness to this affair, and coupling along with His shahada is the shahada of the angels and likewise of the people of knowledge. So therefore, this is the virtue of the people of knowledge, that Allah, He has coupled His testimony with the testimony of the angels and the people of knowledge over the greatest testimony. And that is the testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this is the aspect of evidence here. After this, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَيَرَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ هُوَ الْحَقَّ وَيَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. هُوَ الْحَقَّ وَيَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. And those who have been granted knowledge, they believe that that which is revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your Lord, is the truth, and that it guides to the path of the Almighty and the one worthy of all praise. So the aspect here showing the virtue of knowledge, the virtue of knowledge is that it guides the people to believe in the truth. By way of knowledge, a person, he will be able to identify the truth. And he will be able to see it clearly. And likewise, he will be able to testify to that and follow it. To testify to that and follow it. As for without knowledge, then a person, he will not be able to see. He will be misled and he will be confused. And he can be misled likewise and abused by the devil, from the jinn and from mankind. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ, because of ignorance. Many people, they fall into misguidance and deviation. They fall into sin. Even some of them, they fall into disbelief, like major shirk, and devoting actions of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla because of ignorance. Ignorance is a darkness, whether darkness is. As for knowledge, it's light. Knowledge, al-ilmu nurun. Al-ilmu nurun. So it's a means of guidance and light. And this is from the virtue of knowledge. It will lead a person to testify and to bear witness that that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Is it truth from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that it likewise guides to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And the statement of Allah the Most High, and ask the people of dhikr if you do not know. Any of the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, if you do not know. If you do not know. So the people who do not know, they're ordered here to ask the people who do know. And this is from the virtue of knowledge, that they are the people who are returned to. The people of knowledge, we return our affairs to them, our affairs in the religion, and likewise in the dunya. Those who have knowledge of these particular issues, the issues in the religion or the issues in the worldly life, those who do not know, they return back to those who do know. They return back to those who do know. And this is similar, like what has proceeded from the encompassment of the legislation of al-Islam, that it encompasses all aspects of the life of the human being. From that is this issue here. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. It's been mentioned in the previous generations that there was a Jewish man. He came to ask one of the businessmen any questions, and he is as if he's accusing or finding fault with the religion of Al-Islam and with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentioned that you Muslims, you claim that your book, it gives guidance in all aspects of life. And mentioning verses like وَمَا فَرَضْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not left anything in the book. And he's claiming that you Muslims claim that your book has guidance for all aspects of life and that it's sufficient and the likes like this. And he said, yes, that's right. He said, so then how is this wheat turned into bread? Show me where you find this in the book of Allah. This wheat here that you're selling, how does this turn into bread? And these different types of things that you bake with. How is this in the book of Allah? Thinking as if he's going to dumbfound the Muslim, or he has found him or caught him in a corner where he's not going to be able to answer. So he clarified that even this issue here is found in the book of Allah. And he mentioned this verse here. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So we're ordered to ask the people who specialize in every affair for the issues that we do not know. So if you want to know how to cook bread, then you go ask the bakers and they'll clarify for you. And this is what the Quran has clarified. So anyone who wants to do anything in this life, then he's required to ask the people who know. If you want to do something, any from the worldly affair, you want to purchase a vehicle, you want to rent a home, or you want to buy a house, or you want to do this, or you want to do that, you want to get a job, or if you're sick and you need some type of treatment, the manner to deal with this issue is that you ask the people who specialize in that affair and who have knowledge. You ask the people who specialize in that affair and who have knowledge, because if not, you're going to be proceeding upon ignorance and you're going to harm yourself, or you're going to lose out, or you want to cause more problems than good. But if you ask the people who know, they're going to direct you and guide you to the fastest and quickest, easiest solution for your issue. To the fastest and quickest, easiest solution for your issue. So therefore, this is a great clarification of that which has preceded, that the Quran and the Sunnah is sufficient, and we must suffice with that. And all of the rulings in life are included here, either directly, either the issues are mentioned directly in the text of the Quran or the Sunnah, or it's mentioned in the general understanding and rulings derived from that text. And if there are principles in the religion, and there are fundamentals and foundations that encompass all aspects of life. And from that, this issue here. If you do not have knowledge of something, then the means to deal with this issue is to return back to those who do. So Islam is a religion of knowledge. And this here, the evidence now in this chapter is to clarify the virtue of knowledge and its people, that they are a source of return. They are a source of return. So he says here, likewise, وَعَنْ مُعَوِيَةَ إِبْنِ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whomsoever Allah wants good for, he'll grant him understanding in the religion. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, he'll grant him understanding in the religion. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah will grant him understanding in the religion. So this is the sign that Allah wants good for someone. The fact that he will have fiqh in the deen. The fact that he will have understanding in the religion. What is intended here is general understanding. Beginning with the understanding of creed and belief. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise the manner of implementing that and abiding by that. By fulfilling the rights of the tawheed. In performing the obligations. In submission to Allah azza wa jal. In obedience to him and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by performing the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. So the one who has understanding in the religion, he will be able to move through life in the best manner and avoid all problems and issues and stay in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal and live in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal with hopes to die in the same state. As for the one who does not have fiqh in the deen, then he's going to be misled, he's going to be overcome by his desires, he's not going to be able to deal with the ups and downs that happen in life, and the waves and challenges that occur in one's life. He's going to be misled because he does not have knowledge. Even dealing with the phone, barakallahu fikum, the person who does not have fiqh in the deen, he can be destroyed by his phone. His phone can be a means for him to become misguided, to be misled, and to fall either into deviation and creed and belief, even into disbelief, and atheism and the likes like this, or even if it's not that severe, he can fall into sin, major sin, and go away from the straight path in this manner, all because he does not have understanding on how to use the phone properly in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without fiqh in the deen, a person, he is like an animal. He has no reins to check his soul with. As for the person who has fiqh in the deen, then he will check his soul with the reins of the legislation. Then he will check his soul with the reins of the legislation. In this manner, whenever he is experiencing the joys of life and the goodness of life, it will not cause him to transgress the limits. He will not use the blessings and favors of Allah and the disobedience of Allah. Rather, he will use that in the pleasure of Allah and that which is lawful and allowed. Because he has fiqh in the deen. First thing he'll realize is that these favors and blessings, this well-being and this goodness and his wealth and his health and his property and his home and his society, the security that he has when he comes and he goes, this is all a favor from Allah. So he will feel grateful and he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will strive to use those favors and the pleasure of Allah and strive to avoid from using them in the disobedience of Allah because he has fiqh in the deen. And likewise, whenever there's hardships and calamities, he will realize that this is from the decree of Allah and that what Allah has decreed is going to befall and there's no way to avoid that. And many times the hardships and the problems that one faces in his life is because of that which his own hands have worked from sins and actions of disobedience. So he will accept the decree of Allah because he has understanding in the deen. And then likewise he will repent to Allah because he has understanding in the deen. And from the understanding in the deen is to know Allah and to likewise know oneself. To know the favors and the blessings of Allah, and that Allah, his life is perfect, and that he is the all-wise and all-powerful and strong, and to know that we are his slaves, and that we are weak and we're deficient, and we have shortcomings in showing gratitude and thanks for his blessings. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has fiqh in the deen. So now he will repent to Allah and be patient in dealing with that calamity and take the legislative pathways that are allowed for him to lighten and remove the calamity. Because he has fiqh in the deen. As for the one who does not have fiqh in the deen, he'll become arrogant and boastful. This money is mine. I work from the sweat of my forehead and the likes like this because I'm so clever, because I'm this, because I'm that. Thinking that himself, يَتَعَجَّبُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَلِيَذَا بِلَا وَيَنْسَى نِعْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. And he'll forget the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a calamity. This person is jahil. Jahil, من أجهل الناس. من أجهل الناس. And likewise, the one who cannot deal with the calamities. So why me? I don't deserve this. I'm always good. So on and so forth. He doesn't have true understanding and fiqh in the religion, understanding the tawheed of Allah and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the authority and command of Allah and the reality of his own soul, that he's a slave and that he's under the will of Allah and that he must surrender and submit to the commands of Allah azza wa jal, al-ahkam al-shar'iyya wa al-ahkam al-qadriyya. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyya wa al-ahkam al-qadriyya. The one who has fiqh in the deen, yastaslim lil-ahkam al-shar'iyya wa yanqad lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala bil-ta'ah. Then when هذا هو الإسلام الإسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله وكذلك يستسلم للأحكام القدرية الكونية. He will surrender and submit as well to the universal decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the universal decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the statement of Allah, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. This is the salaf, they mentioned that this is a man, a calamity will befall him. هذا رجل يصيبه تصيبه مصيبة فيعلم أنها من الله سبحانه وتعالى فيستسلم ويرضى. فيستسلم يرضى. لأن الله هو الكريس. ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. Whoever believes in Allah, and he means in his authority, in his command, in his decree, then this manner, and then he submits at the time of calamity and surrenders to Allah Azza wa Jalla and accepts that, then Allah will guide his heart. Then Allah will guide his heart. So a person, he has to have fiqh in the deen. This is a sign Allah wants good for you. This is a sign Allah wants good for you. So this means that a person, yani, he will show concern and care for Islam. He will start to love Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدَرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدَرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whomsoever Allah wants to guide, he will open up his heart to Islam. He will open up his heart to Islam. Meaning that Islam will become very interesting to him. Islam will become very beautiful to him. He will be very interested. He wants to learn. He cannot get enough. He cannot get full. He will not get tired of learning, of studying the Quran, learning how to recite, learning how to read, learning how to ponder, learning how to reflect, learning the law, learning the legislation, learning the sunnah, listening to the narrations. He will not get tired. And Islam will become the most beautiful thing in his life, in his heart. يَشْرَحْ صَدَرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And he will love it. He will love it and he will start to learn. And this is a sign Allah wants good for him. مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. So he will start having concern for sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, listening to the book of Allah, the recitation while he's moving and going in his car, listening to lectures and the likes like this, studying the books of Aqeedah, studying the books of Fiqh, studying the books of Hadith, Umdat al-Ahkam, where you learn how to make Tahara according to the Sunnah, Salat according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the likes like this. He will become very interested and engaged in learning the deen. This is the sign Allah wants good for someone. This is the sign Allah wants good for someone. Not that he has wealth. Not that he has wealth. Wealth is a trial. Wealth and health and prosperity is a trial. Some people, they're tried with wealth, and others, they're tried with poverty. All of it is a trial, and not a sign that Allah loves someone or wants good for them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, periods would go by, and he would have nothing but al-aswadan fi baytihi. And he would only have water and tamar, water and dates, for maybe a month. No fire would be lit in his home. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sleep on a mat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was rough and the coarse, and you would see the imprint on his shoulder or on his side. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from how rough the mat was. He was not living in luxury. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was not chasing after luxury. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and had wealth been a sign that Allah loved someone, then the Prophet, he would have been the most wealthy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but many times he was in poverty. He was in poverty, but he had knowledge. And this caused him to be submissive and humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to submit. And this is what the Prophet, he came with. وَلَبِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِ. It is Allah who sent his messenger with huda, with guidance. The people of knowledge, they say, الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ وَدِينَ الْحَقِ يعني الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. So this is what the Prophet, he came with. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beneficial knowledge and the application of that. So the one who strives to obtain that knowledge, this is a sign that Allah was good for him. The one who obtains a good portion of that, this is a sign that Allah was good for him. But the people of knowledge, barakallahu fikum, they mention a great benefit about the issue of fiqh in the deen and the understanding of as-salaf as-salih, any of the pious predecessors. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, he said, لَمْ يَكُونَ السَّلَفْ يُطْلِقُونَ اسْمَ الْفِقْهِ إِلَّا عَلَى الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي صَحِبَهُ. That the Salaf, they did not used to use the word fiqh except to refer to the type of knowledge that's accompanied with action. So the knowledge that's accompanied with action, this is fiqh in the deen. This is fiqh in the deen. As for knowledge that's not accompanied by action, then this is just a proof against the person as has preceded. The person, he's not considered having fiqh in the deen, having understanding in the deen, and he's learning, memorizing the Quran, or memorizing the narrations, and learning the rulings of halal and haram, and then he opposes them in his action, in his conduct. This is not fiqh in the deen. This is called jahl, arid. This is great ignorance that a person who learned the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and did not apply it or even care to implement it in his life. Rather, this is not understanding. So the people of knowledge, they clarify that any knowledge is not narrations, not just memorizing Allah. No doubt, a part of knowledge and from the way of learning is to memorize. But it would not truly benefit a person and be any ilm al-nafi' fi haqqihi huwa hatta ya'mala bihi. It would not be considered beneficial knowledge in his right until he applies it. that he applies it. So the knowledge about Islam is beneficial, no doubt. But a person, he will not benefit from it truly until he applies it in his life. So this is what is intended here, and Allah knows best. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomsoever Allah wants good for him, he'll grant him understanding in the religion. And he will have understanding of the deen, an understanding that will seek into his heart and rest, and he will believe in it, and he will follow it in his life. And he will follow it in his life. This is a sign that Allah wants good for this person. The author, he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي الدَّرْدَاءَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَطْلُبُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا مِنْ طُرُقِ الْجَنَّةِ. He mentioned here the narration of Abu الدرداء رضي الله عنه, which is from the greatest narrations, clarifying the virtue of knowledge and the people of knowledge. And there are a number of sentences here, a number of issues. Each one of them is a clarification of the great virtue of knowledge and its people. We take them one by one. The first one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man salaka tariqan yatrubu fihi ilma, salaka Allahu bihi tariqan min turuqil jannah." That whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will set him on a path from the pathways to paradise. This narration here, the author he mentioned here, it's been narrated by Ruwahu Ashabu Sunan illa Nisa'i, Wasnadu Hassan. And from those who narrated it, Ashabu Sunan, yani meaning Abu Dawood and at-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, besides Nisa'i. So this is the in Sunan Abi Dawood, in Kitab al-Ilm, this is the first narration mentioned there. And this is from the wording that is found there. Also in Sahih Muslim is a similar wording of this portion here, which is from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ الْمَا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will facilitate and make easy for him the path to paradise. So that clarifies the meaning. What does it mean? سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا مِنْ طُرُقِ الْجَنَّةِ. يعني سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah will facilitate and make easy for him the path to paradise. Because, barakallahu fikum, the path to paradise is a sirat al-mustaqim, as has preceded, and it's a straight path. But it's a path that has on it commandments and prohibitions. And that's the reality of the straight path, commandments and prohibitions. And likewise, after that, to hasten on the path and to compete on the path for the highest levels of virtue, as well, there are recommended affairs after that, and things to avoid that are disliked. So the reality of the straight path, first and foremost, are the commandments and prohibitions, and applying them in the proper manner, and abiding by them, and not transgressing the limits. So the one who learns these affairs, he will be able to implement them in his life, and this is the path to paradise. And the one who does not seek knowledge, then he will not know these affairs, and he will violate them and go away from the path of paradise. So there's a path that leads to paradise, and there are pathways that lead to the hellfire. The only way to identify these affairs and to be steadfast upon the correct path is by way of knowledge. But again, these virtues here are for those who are sincere in knowledge, not for just anyone who seeks knowledge, rather those who are sincere and truthful in their search for knowledge. So this is a great benefit. The people of knowledge have derived from the likes of this narration here a great principle, and that is al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That recompense is according to the type of action. So whenever a person, he shows care and concern for his religion, and he dedicates a portion of his time and his life, and maybe some of his wealth likewise, in order to seek knowledge, the recompense is that the path to paradise will be made easy for him. Whenever he's sincere and he sets out, Allah will make the knowledge easy for him. And Allah will facilitate for him to benefit from that knowledge, to carry the knowledge, to learn the knowledge, to benefit from the knowledge, to apply the knowledge. This is whenever he's sincere. This is whenever he is sincere. All of this is from the aspect of the knowledge being made facilitated and easy for a person. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And likewise, the angels, they lower their wings pleased with the student of knowledge. Some word is رِضًا بِمَا يَسْنَعُ وَرِضًا بِمَا يَطْلُبُ. And that the angels, they lower their wings out of humbleness and humility and love for the student of knowledge, pleased with him. Some word is pleased with what he's seeking. And so the angels, they honor and respect the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. And there are angels, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions sayahin, sayara. They go around to the earth, yatamisuna hilaq al-dhikr. They go around looking for the circles of knowledge. And whenever they find one, they they descend upon them, and they stack, they cover the gathering, one on top of the other, all the way to the heavens in this manner, surrounding them. So there are angels that lower their wings for the students of knowledge, and there are other angels that gather the circles of knowledge. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned, lowering their wings is showing honor and respect, and gathering around them in that manner is preservation and protection. So from the creed of Ahl Sunnah, from the fundamentals of Al-Iman, Al-Imanu bil Malaika. Al-Imanu bil Malaika, to believe in angels. So Alhamdulillah, we believe in angels. We believe in angels. نُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَ إِجْمَالٍ فِي مَا أُجْمِلٍ وَتَفْصِيلًا فِي مَا فُصِّلٍ. We believe in angels in general, and that which is mentioned in general, and in detail, and that which is mentioned in detail. So in general, we've been informed that the angels خُلِقَتْ مِنْ نُورٍ, that they've been created from light. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. That they obey Allah and whatever He orders them, and they do not disobey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is in general. All of the angels are like this. They're created from light. But there are specific mention in certain texts of specific angels. From that, angels that lower their wings for students of knowledge. Also mention that they lower their wings for the students of knowledge out of honor and respect, and also facilitating and helping him and aiding him. So we believe in these affairs. We believe in these affairs. The students of knowledge are aided by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah has created angels that honor them. That Allah has created angels that honor them, pleased with the knowledge that they're seeking and that which they're engaged in. So this is again for those who are sincere. May Allah make us from them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالْحِيتَانُ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَاءِ. And indeed the scholar, and the one who reached a high level in knowledge, higher than a student of knowledge, a strong student of knowledge, that everything in the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for him, even the fish in the water. And this is because these things in life, the rule is related to them. The animals, for example, there's a proper means to deal with them. There are some that are lawful and there are some that are not lawful. And those that are lawful, there's a manner to slaughter them. There's a manner to deal with them. That even the animals have rights. Even it's not allowed to oppress the animals or to torture or punish the animals and the likes like this. And all of this is only clarified by way of knowledge. And those who carry that knowledge, they are the scholars. So therefore, these scholars, they spend their life. Before a person becomes a scholar, he has to go through many stages, many difficulties, many hardships, a long path. While the people are playing basketball, while the people are going out to eat, while the people are enjoying their family, while the people are doing this and doing that, the scholar, he's engaged in knowledge. He's engaged in knowledge, in memorizing, in reviewing, in researching, and going back and forth to the classes and the likes like this, going through the hardship and dealing with the people, advising the people, admonishing the people, and getting blamed by the people and the likes like this whenever he doesn't give them the fatwa that they like, so on and so forth. He spends his life engaged in this affair and clarifying the religion. So as a recompense, al-jaza'u min jinsi al-'amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that the creation will seek forgiveness for him, as a recompense for him. Because of the good that he brings to the creation, in turn the creation seeks forgiveness for him. So this is likewise something that we believe. How this occurs, Allah knows best. This is from the unseen. So likewise, there are other narrations similar like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu wa ahlu samawati wa ahlu ardi wa hatta al-namla fi hujriha la yusalluna ala mu'alib an-nas al-khayr." That indeed Allah and His angels and everything in the heavens and everything in the earth, even the ant in its hole, it sends the salah. And he makes dua, praising or make dua for the person who teaches the people goodness. And he's the scholar, the one who reached the level of knowledge where now he's able to benefit others. So this is a great benefit. Great benefit that a person, if he's sincere and he strives to obtain knowledge until a level, he's able to help his brothers and at Islam, then everything in the creation will seek forgiveness for him. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is also a warning from those people who find fault and talk bad about the scholars and speak ill of them, that they will be lower even than the animals. Even the animals do not talk bad about the scholars or defame the scholars or speak ill about the scholars. Rather, they praise them and seek forgiveness for them. So some people who find fault and backbite or blame or censor the upright and noble scholars, we're not talking about ulama su, but the noble, well-known, true scholars of the Sunnah, we should have nothing but honor for them, nothing but respect for them. You say nothing but good about them, and you cover their faults. If the animals, they seek forgiveness for them, then how about us? So we should not be lower than the animals. by belittling the people of knowledge and disrespecting them and considering their efforts insignificant. That their efforts are great until the extent that Allah has legislated and decreed in His creation that everything in the heavens and the earth, even the fish in the sea, will seek forgiveness for them. This is a high and lofty status. This is a high and lofty status. After this, the narration continues, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِلِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. This is amazing right here. And indeed, the virtue of the scholar over the devout worshipper is like the virtue of the full moon over the rest of the stars. Over the rest of the stars. Here, the virtue of the scholar, and the person of knowledge who is upright and sincere. Who is upright and sincere. Over the devout worshipper. The devout worshipper is not ignorant. We're not talking about an ignorant person. Rather, a devout worshipper who worships Allah in a manner pleasing. The comparison of the one who is not a scholar, but he is devout in his worship. And he worships Allah according to the proper understanding. And he worships Allah correctly. But this is what he's engaged in. He's somebody who prays in the nighttime, prays the non-obligatory prayer. Somebody who's fasting in the non-obligatory fast. Of course, after establishing the obligations, he's a devout worshipper. He's sincere in his religion. But he's not a person of knowledge. The actions of worship that he performs them upon knowledge correctly. Correctly. You understand this part? The comparison of the likes of this person. This person has a high status. A person who is from the layman of Ahl Sunnah, who worships Allah upon light. He's not a scholar. He doesn't know the rulings of this and the rulings of that and the likes like this. But he is sincere in his religion. And he performs his prayer according to knowledge. And he fasts according to knowledge. And he gives charity according to knowledge. He makes pilgrimage. He performs that which he performs properly. According to the knowledge that is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a sincere devout worshipper. This person has a high, high and lofty status. This person has a high, this is from the best of the ummah, better than him. Rather, in comparison to him, he's like the stars in the sky. The people of knowledge who are sincere and the knowledge that they carry and they teach compared to this person who has high and lofty status is like the full moon compared to the rest of the stars. So if you look at the stars, if you look at the stars are beautiful. The stars, whenever there's no lights and it's dark, you can see the stars in the sky. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And they're shining and they're twinkling. When you look up, you say, look how beautiful the stars are. Look how beautiful the stars are. But whenever the full moon is out, the comparison to the beauty and the light of the full moon to the stars is almost like nothing. Now, whenever the full moon is out, you forget all of the stars. You forget all you see is the moon. You look at the moon, Allahu Akbar. Every time there's a new moon, every month, whenever you see it, it's like the first time you've seen it in your whole life. Maybe you live 50 years. 50 years, you see the full moon on the horizon. Look at the full moon, Allahu Akbar. It's so beautiful. It's so bright. And it's full of light and it's full of beauty in itself, and that light also extends and benefits others. So the extent that's been mentioned about Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he wrote Tariq al-Kabir. One of his books he wrote, rahimahullahu ta'ala, yani fi liyali muqmira, yani in the moonlit nights, yani in the Prophet's masjid at nighttime. He wrote it staying up all night. But how did he write? How could he see? Not from a lantern, from the moonlight. From the moonlight. So the point is that the moon is beautiful in itself, and its light is a means of adornment for itself, and like that it benefits others. So this is the example of the people of knowledge compared to the devout worshippers. So a person, if he looks up and he sees the stars, they have light, and their light goes beyond them briefly or a little bit. So no doubt a person of worship, he benefits himself, and this is the origin of that affair. Maybe we'll see some devout worshiper, some brother, for example, who's always in the first row. So we see him and we try to follow him, or some noble brother who has good manners and he's from the devout worshippers. He's not a scholar, he's not a student of knowledge, but he's noble. He has good manners. He gives charity, so on and so forth. We see some of his worship. Maybe we follow him. But then the point is that the majority of his benefit is restricted to himself. If there is benefit that he brings to others, it's little. It's little. And he'll maybe here and there in the likes like this. Compared to the full moon. So the full moon, the light of the full moon, everybody benefits from it. So this is likewise the issue of the people of knowledge, or the person of knowledge. In comparison, his benefit is first and foremost for himself. A person who's truly carrying knowledge, you will find that he is the best of mankind. He's the best of mankind, the best of the people. The one who's carrying the knowledge of the revelation sincerely and truthfully, that knowledge will beautify him and adore him. It will rectify his manners and conduct, and he will bring nothing but benefit to the people. First himself, he is honorable, he's noble, He has a refined manners and conduct, and he's honest, and he's truthful, and he's chaste, and he's kind, and he's forbearing, and he's merciful, and he overlooks the faults of the people. He directs them and advises them. He's from the best of mankind, truthful and honest. He's not treacherous. And then likes like this. So that knowledge has beautified him and himself in his manners and his conduct. And likewise, he advises the people. He directs them. He's a light for them. They follow him and take him as a role model. He's going to admonish them whenever they're heedless, and remind them whenever they're forgetful, and teach them whenever they're ignorant. And the likes like this, and give them admonition. So he brings goodness, and he to himself by way of his knowledge first and foremost, and then likewise to the rest of the people. To the rest of the people. So this is the comparison. This is the comparison, any from the stars to the moon. So the moon, the light of the moon, is a means for beautification in itself, and likewise to benefit others, for others to be able to see, for others to be able to benefit. There's a benefit here likewise. There's a number of benefits that people have knowledge, and he mentioned about this narration and this portion specifically. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, has a treatise about explanation on this narration only. And likewise, Ibn Qayyim, in that same work, Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, he has an explanation of this narration as well. And in here they mention many benefits. From that is the issue, why is the comparison made to the moon and not the sun? The people of knowledge are compared to the moon and not the sun. Isn't the sun, the light of the sun, brighter? Isn't the light of the sun brighter? Would it not be more suitable to compare the people of knowledge to the sun? And it, sometimes maybe they could, but there's a wisdom here and this comparison here. That the Prophet ﷺ compared them to the moon. From the benefits Ibn Qayyim he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that is because the light of the sun is its own light. Is its own light. And as for the light of the moon, then the light of the moon is borrowed from the sun. Just like the people of knowledge. The scholars, they do not bring knowledge from themselves, rather their knowledge is from the light of the risala. From min nur al-risala. And from the light of the message and the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their light is not their light. It's the light that they have obtained from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the original light of the moon is the sun, and the original light of the people of knowledge is the revelation revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this aspect, the comparing them to the moon is better than the sun. It's more precise than comparing them to the sun. Likewise, the light of the sun, barakallahu fikum, is radiant, and it's one level, and it one degree. The light of the sun, it doesn't change. The sun is the sun. The sun all day long, the sun is the sun, and it's moving through its courses, but the light and the heat is one. As for the moon goes through stages. So sometimes the moon is full, like the Badr, and other times it's lesser and lesser until it's half, until it's gone, or until it's a crescent, until they call it hilal. They call it Hilal, that's not called Badr no more. So the Badr is whenever it's full, on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. But before that and after that, it's not full. And it decreases accordingly throughout the days. So likewise, the people of knowledge, they're not all the same in their knowledge. The scholars, they're not all the same in their knowledge. Rather, they vary. Some of them have a greater portion of knowledge. Some of them in their knowledge are really like the full moon. And others, they're lesser than that. Others, they're lesser than that. Maybe he is a person of knowledge, but his knowledge has not completed to this perfection. It's not reached this perfection to where he's a full moon. And maybe he's only half moon, or maybe he's lesser than that or more. So therefore, it's very suitable likewise that the people are not of knowledge are compared to the moon from this aspect as well. This is all from the benefits that have been mentioned about this narration by Ibn Qayyim. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned similar benefits as well. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا إِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمَ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And indeed the prophets, they did not leave behind any dinar wala dirham, and no dirham. And they didn't leave behind gold and silver. They didn't leave behind any wealth. Their inheritance is not money. It's not property. It's not money. It's not property. It's not gold. It's not silver. Rather, they left behind as inheritance knowledge. So whoever obtains that, he has obtained a great portion of goodness. He has obtained a great portion of goodness. This here clarifies the virtue of the people of knowledge from the fact that they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the only one who would inherit someone is the one who is nearest to him. The one who inherits, and the inheritor of a person, if a person he were to die, those who inherit him from his wealth are only those who are nearest to him. Even to the extent that somebody, maybe he is from the waratha, but if somebody is closer to him than him, and he's alive, he'll block him and he will not get a portion. So the only one who inherits a person in his wealth are those who are closest to that person in lineage, in him, in lineage, you understand? In lineage. So the scholars, they're the inheritors of the prophets, meaning they're the closest people to the prophets. The closest people to the prophets, meaning that they're the best of mankind, those who are true, those who are sincere, those who are noble and upright, and their seek for knowledge, and their carrying of knowledge, and their application of knowledge, and their teaching of knowledge, they're the best of mankind alive today. They're the best of mankind alive today after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, warathatu al-anbiya. So this, no doubt, clarifies the virtue of knowledge and the virtue of the people of knowledge. After this, the author, he says, وَنِ بْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدْ وَإِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ. That he mentioned the narration of Ibn Abbasin, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, that he said that the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, that you're going to hear, speaking to his noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, you're going to hear. You need the knowledge and the revelation. You're going to hear the guidance, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ, and it's going to be heard from you. You need, you're going to hear the guidance and the knowledge, meaning from me, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it's going to be heard from you, meaning you're going to transmit that to those after you. You're going to transmit to those after you. Any from the Tabi'een. وَيُسْمَعُ مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, and it will be heard from those who heard from you. So this is a clarification of those three generations. This is a clarification of those three generations, the generation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Tabi'un, and the Atba' Tabi'een. Another mention of, a reference to the chain of narration, and likewise to the virtue of these three generations specifically, along with many other evidences that clarify the virtue of Al-Qurun Al-Thalatha Al-Mufaddala. Al-Qurun Al-Thalatha Al-Mufaddala. From the aspect of evidence here is that this is the methodology of learning. That a person, he must have a teacher. He must have a teacher. He must, from the ways of learning, is that you take knowledge from its people. That you take knowledge from its people. You don't take knowledge from here and there or from anyone. Rather, the people who are qualified to teach, that you take knowledge from them. You take knowledge from the people. They're known for knowledge and they're qualified in that which they carry. They're known for knowledge, and they're known, along with that knowledge, for carrying it properly. And it's seen in their actions and their statements. It's seen in their manners and their conduct. It's known from them that they're people of knowledge. And it's seen outwardly that they apparently have benefited from knowledge. That they have benefited from knowledge. Because the knowledge, it will change a person. The knowledge, it will rectify his heart, it will rectify his manners, it will rectify his conduct, it will rectify the way that he carries himself, the way that he moves. It will be seen. It will be seen on him and the way that he acts. So the knowledge is taken from the people of knowledge. The knowledge is taken from the people of knowledge. And in this manner, like this, there's a chain. And the chain, of knowledge, and going back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadhi khasisun min khasais al-muslimin. This is a special trait that only the believers have, that only the Muslims have. The Christians do not have it, the Jews do not have it. There's mafawiz baynahum wa bayna yani ashab bayna al-hawariyin. There's a great distance between any one of the Christians and Prophet Isa, or the companions of Prophet Isa, hawariyin, the disciples and the likes like this. As for us, as for the Muslims, as for the final and the seal and the last of all prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a chain. Allah Azza wa Jalla khassa hadhi al-umma bi khasisa al-isnad. Khasisa al-isnad, the special quality of the chain. So therefore, a person who seeks knowledge like that, and he'll be back on the chain. And the chain goes back initially to these three generations. To the atba' tabi'in, who heard from the tabi'in, who heard from the sahaba, who heard and learned directly from the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he used to say about them, hafidhuhullah, yani that these three generations here, the companions, radiyallahu anhum, they have the eyes that saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. this virtue here, and if they have the eyes, they saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad, and they believed in him and followed him and died upon faith. This is the virtue of suhbah. They saw the Prophet Muhammad, they heard the Prophet Muhammad, they learned from the Prophet Muhammad, they followed and defended the Prophet Muhammad. So this is the companions. This is the companions. The tabi'un have the eyes that saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the atba' tabi'in have the eyes that saw the eyes that saw the eyes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these three generations here are the best and most noble generations. These are our role models. These who want to be like, first and foremost, the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the ones who clarify that and narrate to that to us are his noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. And then likewise, their students and their students. In this time, in this generation, Islam was established and it was upright and good. And it wasn't until later after that, whenever the fitan began. And it began even in the time of the companions, but it didn't truly spread until later on. The deviant sects became to enter into al-Islam, the Khawarij and the Rafidah and the Qadariya and the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah and the likes like this. They started to try to corrupt Islam from inside, waliyadhu billah, as Islam is expanding. So their Islam is the good Islam, and they're our role models. We want to be like them. We hope to be resurrected with them on the day of resurrection. We want to be with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to be with Abu Bakr. We want to be with Umar. We want to be with Uthman, with Ali. We want to be with Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. We want to be with Himad al-Salam. We want to be with the scholars of Hadith, the people, the scholars of Islam, those who are on the chain back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of them, they narrated to us the Quran and the Sunnah. Like Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. We took Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. He's a narrator of Quran and Sunnah. The narrators who narrated the Quran to us, they're also the narrators who narrated the Sunnah to us. So the Ahlul Quran hum Ahlul Sunnah. Haqqan. The people who are true. People of Quran, they're people of the Sunnah. Because you cannot follow the Quran except by following the Sunnah. And you cannot follow these two except by following this best generation. This best generation. The companions, radiallahu anhum, and their students. The author, he says, Hafidhullahu تعالى وعن ابن عمرو رضي الله عنهما أنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. He mentioned حفظه الله the narration of Abdullah Ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhuma, that he heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that indeed Allah, he does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the men, by stripping it from the slaves. And he doesn't take the knowledge by stripping it from their breasts and taking it away from them in this manner, but rather Allah, he removes the knowledge by taking the lives of the scholars. And in the people of knowledge, they're carrying the knowledge in their breasts. Allah, he mentioned in his book, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. Rather, the Qur'an, this revelation, this guidance, is clear signs and evidences and proofs in the breast of men who have been given knowledge. So they're carrying this religion, preserving this religion in their hearts, in their creed, in their belief, and in their application, in their call, and their teaching and education, and their cultivation. This is how the knowledge is preserved from generation to generation, from the hearts of men. بِالصُدُورِ وَبِالسَّطُورِ. بِالصُدُورِ وَبِالسَّطُورِ. The asl is in the sadur. The asl is in the hearts. Also on the lines. Also written in the books. But the origin is it's in the hearts. Islam, alhamdulillah, the Muslimun, we memorize knowledge. We memorize the Quran. We memorize the hadith. We memorize the ahkam. We carry the knowledge wherever we go. This is the true knowledge that will benefit you. The knowledge that you carry in your heart, this is the knowledge that will benefit you. That will benefit you truly, that you're ready to use it and to apply it and to recall it and to memorize it and to remember it anytime you want, wherever you may be. This is the knowledge that will truly benefit you. If it's written, no doubt it will benefit you, but maybe, you know, your phone will die and you can't search. right? Or you have, you left your notebook at home, or the likes like this. So the one that you memorize, this is the one. So the people, the knowledge is taken in this manner. The people of knowledge, they will die off. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, until Allah will not leave one person of knowledge left, and then at this time the people will take ignorant individuals as their leaders, and the people of authority, and they will ask them about rulings, and they will grant religious verdicts without knowledge, and they will go astray and lead others astray. So some of the people of knowledge have mentioned some a subtle benefit, and that is that we see in these days the people, some of them did not even wait for no scholars to remain. There's many scholars still remaining today, and they have taken the ignorant ones as their leaders. They have turned away from the people of knowledge and taken ignorant ones as their leaders, and they're even still present. So how about whenever the people of knowledge truly die off? No doubt, compared to the rest of mankind, there are few, but there are a number of scholars left, alhamdulillah. A number of scholars alive today to benefit from, who are upright and noble and firm in their knowledge and understanding, and we should benefit from them and return our affairs back to them whenever there are serious issues that affect the whole society. And we should learn from them and benefit from them. Learn from their knowledge and benefit from their manners and their conduct, and not take the ignorant ones as our leaders or as our teachers or as our guides. And ignorance is two aspects. First aspect is to not have knowledge. يعني الجهل نوعاني. يعني the first one, عدم العلم. He doesn't have knowledge. So this one, يعني is hope for him. Maybe he will learn or benefit from some advice. And the second one is more severe, and it's عدم العمل بالعلم. عدم العمل بالعلم. To not apply the knowledge. So a person maybe has lots of knowledge, but if he does not apply it, he's considered جاهل. But أجهل الناس. He's from the most ignorant of the people. The Sahaba, they used to say, كل من عصى الله فهو جاهل. Everyone who disobeys Allah, then he's ignorant. So a person maybe has knowledge, but if he does not implement it properly or use it to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he uses it for a worldly gain, like the Jews, for example, then that knowledge will not benefit him, and he's truly considered ignorant and not a scholar. A person, he will not truly be considered a person of knowledge until he implements and applies the knowledge that he has. This is something the people of knowledge have a consensus with regards to. So the point is that, you know, the knowledge will remain and the goodness will remain so long as the people of knowledge remain. This is a clarification of the virtue of those people, that they're with their life and with their effort, the knowledge of Islam remains by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّهَا قَالَتْ. And also from the two of them, meaning from Bukhari and Muslim, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, تَلَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ قَالَتْ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا رأيت الذين يتبعون ما تشابه منهم فأولئك الذين سمى الله فاحذروهم فاحذروهم. Now the author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the prophet, that she said the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one time he recited the verses of Allah عز وجل, and it is he who has revealed to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the book, and from it there are clear verses. These are the foundation of the book. And there are other that are unclear. The ayat muhkamat, any of these are verses that are clear, that have one meaning, that are not ambiguous, and they cannot be understood in more than one line. Then there are other verses that are called mutashabihat. What is intended here is that there are verses that could be understood in more than one, They have a right meaning and another meaning that could be understood. The way to identify which one is intended is by turning these ones, these verses that are unclear or could be understood in more than one manner, back to the clear verses. So the verses that carry more than one meaning, the way to understand what is intended from them is to return them back to the verses in the book on the same subject that only carry one meaning. And this is the intended meaning. But the people who have deviation in their heart, they will leave those clear verses. They will not turn those meanings back to the clear verses, rather they'll search for the other meanings and try to misinterpret and mislead the people in this manner. This is what the verse is referring to. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. As for the people who have deviation in their heart, then they follow that which is unclear, that which is, that which has more than one meaning, and they don't refer it back to the clear verses. How do you know what is the intended meaning? By studying the clear verses on that subject. From the manner the people of the Sunnah achieve the pure truth is that they deal with the text all as one text. And the manner that the people of deviation and innovation go astray and the people of desires follow their whims is that they look at one text and they forget the others. They look at one text and they forget the others. So the manner to achieve the pure truth is to look in one subject. If you want to talk about salah, you want to talk about zakah, you want to talk about the sivat of Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to talk about tawheed, whatever subject you want to speak about in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will not be able to achieve the pure truth and the correct understanding until you gather all the evidences in this subject. As for if you look at one evidence and neglect others, then you might go astray like the Khawarij and declare the Muslims disbelievers. Because you read verses like, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ and the likes like this, and then apply them in the wrong light. And apply them in the wrong light to the people who they're not applied to. And the likes like this. Or you might read the verses when Allah says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَاللَّهُ يَكْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا and the likes like this, and become like the murji'a, and then fall into sin, and claiming that, oh Allah, He's the most forgiving, most merciful. I can take interest, Allah will forgive me. I can commit fornication, Allah will forgive me. What do you have to be there? Because he just focuses his eyes on this aspect. But in reality, there's another aspect, that Allah is severe in punishment. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes retribution. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not forget. He will delay, but He does not forget. And that the people, they'll be taken to account for their sins. So on and so forth. So the point is that to understand the religion properly, we have to deal with the text all as one. All is one, the Quran and the Sunnah, all is one. As for if you look at one aspect, then you're going to easily be misled or have a misunderstanding and go astray. So this is what the people of deviation, they do intentionally. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ because in this manner they are able to use their trickery and deception and follow their whims and try to make it appear that the Quran indicates something that it doesn't. Indicate something that it doesn't. This is their methodology. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you see them, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ." These are those whom Allah has mentioned in His book. If you find those, He's telling His wife, meaning that we cultivate our wives upon this way likewise, and we warn them from the people of falsehood likewise, and we clarify the proper creed and belief and methodology for our wives likewise and our children. And our children, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتِ أَنْتِ يَا عَائِشَ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. So these, if you see these people following these unclear verses in this manner, interpreting the verses in this manner, contrary to that which is clear in the other text, then these are those whom Allah mentioned. So therefore, beware of them. So from the manner of taking knowledge, from the path of taking knowledge, that any of the evidences in the Quran or the Sunnah that carry more than one meaning, the manner to identify the intended meaning that it was revealed for is by referring these texts back to the texts that are clear on the topic. So if you do that, you'll find that one of these meanings that this verse or this hadith carries will be in accordance with other verses that are clear. And then there is other meanings that are not in accordance with other verses that are clear. So how do we know which one is the right understanding? By referring back to the other verses that are clear. And now they all become clear. But as for the people with deviation in their heart, they leave this clear path and they follow these other ways like this. And that's how they introduce innovation. That's how they get people to call on graves. That's how they get people to slaughter for graves. That's how they do other aspects of falsehood in the same manner. Going to this aspect here. And Allah is aware of them. But for the benefit for us, we learn this is how you seek knowledge. You seek knowledge from the people who understand like this. You don't seek knowledge from those who go back to the mutashabihat. You say, well, oh, what about this? Or the dead can hear. Or here it says that, that what about the people of Badr? And the likes like this and this. So they make up all these excuses to call on the graves and to turn their devotion to others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, when it's very, very clear and many, many verses and many, many hadith that it's impermissible to call on anyone besides Allah. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah in the first place. But because people are ignorant and they take knowledge from the wrong sources, they're easily misled. So from the way to seek knowledge is from the proper sources, and from the means of identifying them from their methodology is that they return the verses that carry more than one meanings back to those verses that are clear, and they understand the deen in this manner. Alhamdulillah. He says here, Hafidhullah, قَالَ عَلِيُّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنْظُرُ مِمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ الدِّينُ رَوَى ابْنُ عَدِيٍّ فِي الْكَامِلِ وَخَطِيبُ الْبَغْدَادِ فِي الْكِفَايَةِ وَلَا يَصِحُّ عَنْهُ وَصَحَّ نَهْوُهُ عَنْ جَمَاعَةٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ. So he mentioned here now the narration of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that he said, look to where you take this knowledge from, because indeed it is deen. It's narrated by Ibn Adi in his book Al-Kamil, and Khatib al-Baghdad in his book Al-Kifaya. And it's not authentic on him. but has been authenticated on a number of the Salaf. And from that it's narrated by Muhammad ibn Sirin. He died in the year 110. Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned it in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim. Inna hadha al-madina fanzuru amma ta'khudhuna deenakum. Indeed, this knowledge is deen. It's deen. Look to where you take your knowledge from. It's deen. This knowledge is deen. So you have to look where you take it from, because you're going to be resurrected and taken to account for your deen. Ma deenuk. It's going to be said, ma deenuk. So if your deen is based upon knowledge that is frivolous, or knowledge that is makhdush, knowledge that is makhlut, knowledge that is not all pure and good, then you're going to be resurrected with a deen that is the same. It's corrupted, it's weak. You're going to base your actions on your knowledge, and your actions are going to be weighed on the day of resurrection. So if the knowledge is corrupt, if the knowledge is deficient, if the knowledge is weak, if the knowledge is wrong, then the actions based upon that are going to be wrong. So فَانْظُرْ أَمَّا تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ فَانْظُرْ أَمَّا تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. You have to look where you take your knowledge from. This is from the way of taking knowledge. From the way of taking knowledge, as has preceded, knowledge is ibadah. So therefore, it must have the conditions of ibadah, which are al-ikhlas wa mutaba'ah. So al-ikhlas is to be sincere and to seek it for the sake of Allah, as has preceded. This way here is mutaba'ah. This is the way of seeking knowledge. You seek it from the proper sources, in the proper manner, and little by little, and step by step, and you shall priority to that which is most obligatory. And the likes like this, this is from the means of following the sunnah and seeking knowledge. The author, he mentions here, وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ صَالِحِينَ مُتَمَاسِكِينَ مَا أَتَاهُمُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ مِنْ أَكَابِرِهِمْ فَإِذَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ أَصَاغِرِهِمْ هَلَكُوا. رواه معمر في الجامع وطبراني وإسناده الصحيح. It is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said that the people remained righteous and holding fast to their religion and together and united so long as the knowledge came to them from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from their elders and those in high ranks and knowledge. And whenever it comes from their little ones, then they'll be destroyed. Then they will be destroyed. It's narrated by Ma'mar in his book Al-Jami and Tabarani with a chain that is authentic. And a clarification that the knowledge again, it goes back to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we take knowledge in this manner. And he didn't understand the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba. This is the evidence here. This is the intention here. We summarize so that we can finish inshallah. وقال عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه تعلم الفرائض قبل الظانين رواه ابن وهب في مسنده واسناده صحيح وعلقه البخاري وقال يعني الذين يتكلمون بالظن. The author, he mentioned, حفظه الله, the narration of Uqbah ibn Amir رضي الله عنه, he said that you must learn the fara'id before the doubtful people, or those who are speculous, yani al-dhannin, those people who base their judgments on speculation and on doubts. It's narrated by Ibn Wahab and his Musnad, and also the chain is authentic. And Bukhari mentioned it ta'liqan. And he said that these people, they're the speculators, those who speak with dhan, you know, those who speak with doubts or suspicion and the likes like this, or conjecture. So you learn the knowledge from the people who speak with evidence and proof. You learn the knowledge from the people who say that you do this because Allah said that, or you do this because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. We understand this hadith because Abu Bakr, he said that. This is the one that you take knowledge from. As for those who are contrary to that, we say, well, you take knowledge, we do this because if you do this, you do that. And if you do that, you do this. And if they use their mind and their own reasoning and their intellect, and they neglect the text, you don't take knowledge from these people. You don't take knowledge from these people. You take knowledge from the people who understand the religion in the proper manner. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, al-ilmu qala Allahu qala Rasuluhu qala sahabatu hum ulu al-irfani. That knowledge is what Allah said and what the Messenger said and what the companions said, because they are the people of knowledge. Any of the companions, they are the people of knowledge. They are the people of knowledge. And he mentioned likewise, al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bidalilihi. Al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bidalilihi. So true knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. So we learn from those who teach us the guidance with the evidence. So we're not blind following them, rather we're following the evidence that they show us. So there's a difference between blind following somebody and between following the evidence and proof that somebody shows us. So if somebody came right now and says, you know, I didn't have wudu and I prayed just now, what do I do? We tell him, you go have to make wudu again. And he does that. He's blind following us. And maybe he has to do that. Sometimes blind following is something that you have to do, but it's blameworthy and you shouldn't. You don't ever want to have to do that. But the point is, if we just tell him, go make wudu, your prayer is not accepted. and he takes that like that, he's blindfolding us. But if we tell him the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yaqbalu Allahu salat ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda," telling him, "No, you have to go make wudu, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allah does not accept the salat of one of you if you break your wudu until you make wudu. So therefore you gotta go make wudu." So I said, "Okay, I understand." So now he is not blind following me, rather he's following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I clarified for him, I shed light on him for the situation, I mentioned for him the ruling, and I clarified the evidence for that. So he's not blind following them. So al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. Ma dhaka wa taqlidu yastawiyani. Ma dhaka wa taqlid yastawiyani. So there's a difference between blind following and between al-ittiba'. Al-ittiba' is to know the guidance with proof. To know the guidance with proof. And this is the way that we should learn. This is the way that we should learn. We should learn our religion based upon evidence and proof so that we have certainty. So that we have certainty. Qala Abdurrahman ibn Yazid ibn Jabir rahimahullah, la yu'khadhu al-ilmu illa 'amman shuhida lahu bil-talib. Rawahu al-Khatib al-Baghdadi fi al-Kifaya. Abdurrahman ibn Yazid ibn Jabir, he says rahimahullah, that knowledge is not taken from anyone except for those who it's witnessed for him that he sought knowledge. It's witnessed for him that he sought knowledge. Narrated by Khatib al-Baghdadi fi al-Kifaya. Meaning that the people who we take knowledge from, it's known that they sought knowledge. It's known that he's the student of so-and-so, or he went and studied in Medina, or he's known for knowledge. The people where he comes from in his society, they know that he's qualified, that he's carried knowledge, that he's profound, that he's not a liar, he's not faking, or he's not misusing the people, or he's not just talking and claiming he didn't just put on an imamah and put on a bishl. And actually, no, he's pretending to be a sheikh and the likes like this and misleading the people, so on and so forth. No, you take knowledge from the people who are known to have sought knowledge and learned from the people of knowledge. And you have learned from that. This is the origin. You take knowledge from those who took knowledge from the mouths of the scholars. Those who their knees went through pain and they're back from sitting at the feet of the scholars. This is how you take knowledge like this. Tasma'una wa yusma'u minkum wa yusma'u mimman sami'a minkum. So this is an indication here that we seek knowledge in this manner. From the people of knowledge, those who benefited from the people of knowledge. You have a chain. You have a teacher who has teachers. You don't have a teacher who just learned from the books or just learned by himself. No, you have a teacher who learned from a teacher in this manner like this. In this manner, the knowledge will become beneficial and good. قال مالك رحمه الله كان رجل يختلف إلى رجل 30 سنة يتعلم منه رواه أبو نعيم أبو نعيم المسبحاني في حيلة الأولياء. The last narration, he says, Malik, he said, rahimahullah, that a man, he used to go back and forth to a man for 30 years learning from him. And he meaning that the path of knowledge is long. And you never say, alhamdulillah, I learned, I don't have to learn anymore. A person, he will keep seeking knowledge until he dies. Imam Ahmad, he was asked about, until when are you going to seek hadith? He said, min al-mihbara ila al-maqbara. Min al-mihbara, from the ink, stand until the grave. I'm not going to seek knowledge until I die. So a person, he will never reach a level where he says, I know I don't have to seek knowledge no more. Rather, he'll continue to seek knowledge. He'll continue to humble himself. He'll continue to benefit. He'll continue to learn. He'll continue to listen so long as he's alive. Because the knowledge, even if it's something that you already know, by hearing it again, it becomes firm and you become reminded. And you benefit from it. And it stays fresh in your heart. And you're able to continue to apply it in a good manner. So the author, he says, فِيهِ مَسَائِلِ. In this chapter, there are benefits. الْأُولَى فَضْلُ الْعِلْمِ وَأَهْلِهِ. The first one, the virtue of knowledge in his people. الثانيه انه يهدي الى الحق ويقي من الباطل. The second benefit is that knowledge guides to the truth and it will protect a person from falsehood. الثالثه انه يؤخذ عن اهله بالتلقي والسماع والسؤال مع طول الصحبه. The third benefit is that it's taken, knowledge is taken from its people by learning from them directly and listening to them and asking them along with accompanying them for a good period of time. الرابعه قبض العلم بقبض العلماء. The fourth benefit here is that knowledge is removed by the death of the scholars. الخامسة, the fifth one, التحذير من الرؤوس الجهال الذين يتبعون المتشابه. A warning from the ignorant leaders, those who follow the unclear verses, so the unclear evidences and text. السادسة, أن من الناس من هم من أهل العلم فيؤخذ عنهم ومنهم من ليسوا من أهل من أهله فلا يؤخذ عنهم. The sixth benefit is that from mankind, from people, there are those who are from the people of knowledge. We take from them. And there are others who are not truly from the people of knowledge. We do not take from them. This is very important. And هناك من يتشبه بالعلماء وليس منهم فانتبهوا منهم. There are people who imitate the people of knowledge and they're not from him. He's telling us from the methodology of knowing them is that they follow the mutah. المتشابه. From the methodology to identify them, they follow the متشابه. السابعة احتياط العبد لنفسه ورعيته بتحري من يؤخذ عنه العلم. And the seventh benefit, which is very great, he says that a person has to take precaution for himself and for those under his care, that he will look and pursue the proper avenues for whom he takes knowledge from. From whom he takes knowledge from. And with that, alhamdulillah, we have completed the first five chapters and that which we had prepared for this particular seminar. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge a benefit for us and a light for us and improve for us and not against us. And I thank the brothers here in the masjid, especially in the administration, for the invitation and for cooperating along with us upon piety and righteousness. And we ask Allah to accept from us and from you, and to increase all of you in goodness. And likewise, the brothers as well in the masjid, and the youth who have contact with me. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward all of you. And I apologize for going too long. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.